WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A doctor from Lebanon who arrived at the Boston airport was deported over the weekend without explanation, despite having a U.S. visa and a job teaching at Brown University. A judge had ordered she not be sent back until there was a hearing, but government lawyers say that customs officials didn't get the word in time. U.S. shoppers stepped up their spending just a bit in February after a sharp pullback the previous month. Retail sales rose just 0.2%. A small rebound after a sharp drop the month before. One thing people are buying again, eggs. ABC's Rhiannon Alley says they're costing less.
The average wholesale price nationwide fell to $4.15 per dozen. So let's put that in perspective. That is down about $2.70 in just 1 week. Prices were over $8 at the end of last month.
NCAA basketball tournament standings are out, from gambling to office pools to family contests. Challenger Gray and Christmas predict that $17 billion will be lost in productivity during the tourney. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Republican lawmakers are considering a bill that would ban school staff from calling students by different names or pronouns without speaking with their parents. Joanne Krulatz has more.
At the state capitol, lawmakers debate a bill that would require school districts to implement policies stating that parents determine the names and pronouns of students used by school staff. Oconomowoc Republican Representative Barbara Dittrich co-authored the legislation.
In our schools, we don't allow our kids to take a Tylenol without permission from parents. Transitioning and changing your name is a major life choice parents should be involved in.
Transgender rights supporters voiced their opposition to a bill that would require local districts to implement such policies.
If these bills were to pass, I fear that young people would have fewer people to go to, that there would be an increase in bullying, self-harm, and suicide among our young people.
They need just one place to have their risk of suicide be reduced dramatically. This bill, AB 103, will take away one of those places.
Representatives from the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty and Moms for Liberty Wisconsin support the bill, stating that parents should determine the names and pronouns of students used by school staff.
Imagine discovering that for months, school staff have been treating your daughter as if she is your son, or vice versa, without you knowing about it. I've received that call from far too many Wisconsin parents in the last few years.
If a child under 18 isn't legally allowed to drop out of school without parental consent, how is it that a school is allowed to create a whole new identity for that same child without their parents' consent?
Democratic Governor Tony Evers has said he would veto any legislation he feels harms Wisconsin's LGBTQ plus youth.
That's Joanne Krulatz reporting. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is 92.7 WMDX News.
The Bucks bow to the Thunder. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks losing to the Thunder 121-105. Doc Rivers says about the only guy to play with any effort last night was Giannis Antetokounmpo.
I thought Giannis really came with the right intentions. And I thought there's games, guys, that you have in the year that one team has understands the bigness of the game and the other team doesn't. And you can feel it, you can see it.
The Bucks have lost four of their last six games. College basketball, Marquette headed to the NCAA tournament for the fourth year in a row. They'll play New Mexico Friday night. The Badgers got into the big dance. They'll take on Montana on Thursday after losing in the finals of the Big Ten tournament to Michigan yesterday, 59-53.
This one stings, but as I told the team, I couldn't ask for any more in terms of what they've given us and how they played today, other than we didn't make shots.
That's Badgers head coach Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Partly sunny and breezy today, with winds whipping out of the south, gusting up to 30 to 40 miles per hour. It's creating a very high fire danger, and it'll warm us up today to about 60 degrees. Then tomorrow, we become mostly cloudy, staying mild and breezy as the storm system sits on our back doorstep. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 37 degrees at our studios.
reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could, just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We will talk about the Wisconsin Badgers seed in the NCAA tournament and what makes you a target of the Alien Enemies Act of 1798. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Kelvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. The number is the same whether you call or text. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 11:30 news, we will lighten it up as we always do. It's St. Patrick's Day. We want to talk about your favorite Irish movies. And then we will wrap up the show, as we always do, with a segment called This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Let Me Transfer You edition. Right now, though, we thought this segment was cursed because our last couple of guests have had timing snafus at the last minute. But today, he's here, and we're ready to go. Calvin, play the sounder, please.
Beyond the Cheese.
It's our effort to highlight businesses in Wisconsin outside of the dairy industry. We are delighted to be joined by Joe Henry, the owner of J. Henry and Sons in Dane, Wisconsin. Good morning, Joe. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. One of our friends and colleagues here at Civic Media, Luke Mathers, and his wife recently toured your facility, and after they came back, he's like, you got to talk to these guys. It's fantastic. So tell us, first of all, what you do at J. Henry & Sons.
So we are primarily a hybrid seed farm. So we raise hybrid seed corn just north of Madison. We've been doing that since 1946 when my grandfather bought the property. About 15 years ago, we started making bourbon and other whiskeys using grains that have historically been from UW-Madison's Ag Research Department and raised on our farm by my grandfather and father.
What was the impetus to even do that? Were you sitting around drinking bourbon one day and thought, hey, you guys, we could make this ourselves. Let's try it.
I'm pretty sure that's what my dad did. had a little bit of a midlife crisis, and my mom wouldn't let him buy a sports car. So he started to make a whiskey company out of it.
I mean, where's the money in sports cars?
Well, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there's a joke in the industry that a good way to take a large fortune and turn it into a small one is to open a distillery.
Seriously.
So luckily, things have been working out for us really well. And then, Jane, when you reached out, this is kind of another layer to the connection, I think. But my mom actually grew up in Racine. She went to St. Cat's. And then for much of her career, she worked in the dairy industry. So she worked for ABS. She was actually Alice in Dairyland.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Sometime back in the 80s, I believe. So yeah, our family is very, very connected to the ag industry and specifically the dairy industry in Wisconsin. So when you reached out, I was like, this is a no-brainer. This sounds awesome.
Oh, that is so cool. I hope she still wears her Alice crown. I think she should.
I think she's still got it.
I think we have
a picture of her in the tasting room with her wearing that.
At least once a year, she should be able to wear her crown and have it be her day. I just think that's only fair.
I mean, I'd be like, raise your hand if you were Alice in Dairyland. Oh, just me? That's fine. We're having pizza.
So, what is the distillery process specifically to bourbon? What sets bourbon apart from whiskey, say?
So all bourbon is whiskey, not all whiskey is bourbon.
Okay.
It's an easy way to think about it. So bourbon is defined by the federal law as needing to be 51 or more percent corn in the specific mash bill or variety of grains that you use. It needs to be aged in a new charred oak container. So that's why we use barrels. Once we're done with them, we usually sell them to local breweries. And they do barrel aged beers and stuff like that in there. And then it needs to be made in the United States of America. So any state does not have to be from Kentucky. Those are kind of the three laws federally that separate bourbon from other whiskeys. And that's why it's been known as America's spirit, is because you can only make it in the United States.
Interesting, but not just Kentucky. So take that, Kentucky.
Yeah, exactly. We do it just as good up here.
We're not trying to start any fights again, Jane. Okay.
I'm just saying, take that, Kentucky. You're not the only one. So there. So you start with the corn that you grow at your farm.
Mm-hmm.
And then what is the process to make your magical bourbon?
So we use a very special type of red heirloom corn that was developed in 1939 by UW-Madison's Ag Research Department. We actually pulled that specific corn out of hibernation in the basement of the ag like library because it went commercially extinct in the late 70s, early 80s when GMO crops started to become really popular.
Oh, wow.
So we are the only people in the world growing that specific red heirloom corn, and we only raise it to make J. Henry bourbon. We also grow all of our own heirloom winter wheat and heirloom spooner rye, both from the UW grain program. So we grow all the grains used to produce J. Henry bourbon right here on the farm, which is only about 20-30 minutes north of Madison. So if you ever want to come on and do a tour like your coworker, we're open Thursday through Sunday every week.
Road trip.
Road trip. So once we get those grains harvested, we store them in the wintertime, and then we want to mill them into kind of like a fine powder, similar to like flour. It's a little bit more coarse than that, but we need that surface area because what we're going to do next is start the process of fermentation.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to take that powder, we're going to take that flour, those milled grains, add water, yeast, and heat to kind of warm it up and give a pleasant environment for the yeast to essentially eat the sugars in the other grains and fart out alcohol. So exactly. So
I used to work at a brewery, and that's what I would say. I'd say it would pee out alcohol and fart out CO2.
Yep, exactly. So we're essentially drinking yeast pee. Whenever you
that's
drink
exactly
beer.
What I would say.
Well, when so you get right down to the nitty morning. And gritty, when you get down to the nitty and gritty, that's kind of what it is.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it is. So after that process with the fermentation, we're essentially left with a beer. So it's called distiller's beer. It's not something you would normally like grab an ice cold can of and start drinking. It's usually about 12 to 18% alcohol by volume. And then what we're going to do is put it through a still. And it's obviously a lot more complicated than this, but the process of distillation is really putting it through a still to increase the potency of something left by decreasing the volume of what you're trying to distill out. So in the case of making bourbon, we are distilling out water to increase the potency of that alcohol left in your solution.
Okay.
So we run it through a still. It gets up to about 60 to 70% alcohol after a couple different passes. And then we put it into those new charred oak casks. And that's really where the magic starts, in my opinion. So 60 to 70% of the final flavor of any aged spirit is going to come from the interaction of that spirit and the wood. Once it comes off of the still, it's colorless. It has some flavor, but not the traditional sense of flavor that you would associate with whiskeys. Really, like, all that magic happens from the interaction that it has over the course of, for us, about 4 to 6 years, just by sitting in that new charred oak barrel.
So the barrel makers essentially have you over a barrel, because without the barrels, I just, what?
What? I like that joke. You're 100% right.
And is there only one supplier for those barrels, or do you have a choice of places to go?
There's many suppliers here in the United States. There's also several abroad that we buy from, but our primary supplier is called the Independent Stave Company, and they do a fantastic job for us. They're based out of, they have cooperages in Missouri and Kentucky.
I have a ton of questions because, like, we just, Bridget and I, my wife and I, just went to Memphis. We went to Old Dominic's distillery and went through tour. So the things you're talking about, and I used to be a tour guide for a brewery, so a lot of this makes sense. So, like, there's all these technical questions that I want to ask. I'm like, don't ask boring questions. Don't make people turn off this interview. And people need to know about Joe Henry. But, like, the one thing I wanted to ask you really quick, and I want to go back to the corn. And you, of course, I'm sure, blessed with a wonderful palate of your father and your grandfather. If I'm going to put down your bourbon versus another bourbon that doesn't use that corn, what does that special corn that you have resurrected do for the flavor or for just the entire presentation of the bourbon?
Yeah. So there's a couple of things. One being that the kind of nutritional value is a little bit different than kind of your mass produced commodity grain. So, like, number two, Yellow Dent, which is what the majority of the industry is raising to produce ethanol, to produce food, is extremely high in starch. And what that is the benefit for brewers and distillers is, if you have a higher starch content, you essentially have a more efficient chemical reaction when your yeast is eating those starches and sugars and creating alcohol. So you can create pure alcohol, higher volume of alcohol, with much less energy. But that's all you're really doing, is creating higher percentages of alcohol. Our corn, on the other hand, is a little less efficient in that aspect, but it's a lot higher in protein, in fat content, in oil content. So while we don't get as efficient of a chemical reaction and as much total volume, we're sacrificing that for flavor, texture, and really just a higher quality product.
And obviously, with health benefits, I should be drinking bourbon because it's good for me.
I heard protein.
Protein, exactly. Yeah. That's all
protein.
I heard.
Yep.
We're going to continue our conversation with Joe Henry, owner of J. Henry & Sons. We're going beyond the cheese. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Still putting off that deep clean? Let HS Pristine Clean take it off your to-do list. With over 20 years of meticulous cleaning experience, they make your home sparkle without the hassle. Call 920-932-0000 today. Why wait?
At Chance Design Build, we provide remodeling done well with love. Our commitments extend beyond our workplace and your home to support our community. We judge people by the content of their character, not by the color of their skin, and we believe all humans deserve quality, publicly funded education, childcare, and health care. But what do you believe in? At Chance Design Build, we believe every person must have the opportunity to thrive. If you're thinking about remodeling your home, go to ChanceDesignBuild.com to learn more about our commitments to you, your home, and our community.
Time for the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A Wisconsin judge has affirmed that Canadian oil giant Enbridge must pause construction on its Line 5 pipeline while a legal challenge plays out. Conservation groups are suing to block state permits that would allow the company to clear trees, dig trenches, and fill wetlands in northern Wisconsin, all to make way for a new 41-mile section of the pipeline that carries Canadian crude oil to refineries in Ontario. Republicans and Democrats in Wisconsin coming together to support livestock grazing on our farms. State lawmakers introduced the Transition to Grazing bill that will help our farmers improve soil, water quality, and livestock health by getting dairy cows and other animals out of the barns and out grazing on grass in the spring and summertime. For a deep dive into environmental issues and what you can do to protect Wisconsin's water, air, and land, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to the John and Gordy Show weekdays right here on WMDX, sponsored by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted, locally made mattress. Find them on Madison's East and West Side or online at verlo.com.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Beyond the Cheese.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calviente on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Excited to have our guest with us. He's the owner of J. Henry & Sons, which is right outside of Madison. They make bourbon, baby. Joe Henry is here. And Joe, we do have a couple of questions that came in on the text line. Someone listening in Madison wants to know if you can reuse the barrels, or do you have to use a new barrel for every batch of bourbon?
So that is a very good question. Part of the law behind that was actually based off of around like post-prohibition laws. So after prohibition, or during prohibition, I guess, most of the cooperages were making barrels for the brewing and distillation industry. So you cut those out for about 10 years.
Yep.
Nobody's making any right. alcohol in the United States during that time. So that industry really starts to crumble and sort of fail. A lot of cooperages closed. So then when prohibition ended, the federal government, in a way to kind of help reinvigorate that industry, required bourbon producers specifically to use those barrels only once.
Wow.
So every time we make a barrel of bourbon, we have to, once it's aged fully and we dump that whiskey out of the barrel to get bottled, we can no longer use that barrel again and then call the product that comes out of it bourbon. It would just be like American whiskey. So it's cool and not so cool because it's very wasteful. But it does provide a very unique flavor for bourbon, compared to the other global, whiskeys of the world, I would say. The main use for our barrels is we will sell them to local breweries throughout Wisconsin, and they'll do barrel aged beers. So some of the bigger ones are like the Eagle Park guys in Milwaukee, Central Waters up in up north in Antioch, I believe, and a couple here around Madison. We've done some stuff with Goose Island down in Chicago. We also do some like fun little projects. So this past weekend, maple trees up in northern Wisconsin are starting to get really active.
Yep.
So we will actually give some of our barrels to maple syrup producers up in the North Woods. They'll put maple syrup in our used whiskey barrels. It'll pull out some of the flavor of that bourbon into your maple syrup. Yeah, it's fantastic.
That sounds really good.
Yeah, we sell some of it at the tasting room. And then also another way that we continue to extend the life cycle of that barrel is once the maple syrup producer is done with that cask and emptied it out, we'll actually put bourbon back into those maple syrup casks and have like a maple syrup finished bourbon. So we it's dangerous stuff.
It sounds like it.
We just had that release about a week or so ago. And we only have a few cases left if people are trying to make the trip to swing up here and try some of that stuff that we only sell here on the farm.
If you're just joining us, Joe Henry is our guest. He's the owner of J. Henry and Sons, located in Dane, Wisconsin. They make bourbon, baby.
They do. I was just going to say that I was talking about the tour that I did, and one of the cool things was I touched the mash. You can. It's like a pillowy, fibrous
foam.
And she's like, and our tour guide said, "You can touch it, eat it, do whatever you want." And it didn't taste good. It felt weird, but it was an amazing experience because you're just part of the distilling process and you're seeing it happen right in front of you.
I guess what amazes me though, Joe, when you talk about this entire process of how to make bourbon, it's like back in the day, the inventors had to be just the amount of patience. It's like, what do you want to do with this? I don't know. Let's boil it. And then after we boil it, let's do this. Let's see what happens when we do this, because that's kind of the process of how these things come about historically, isn't it? I mean, in some instances, I firmly believe like cheese was a mistake. Someone was moving yak's milk somewhere in the heat and it turned into something else. And they're like, yeah, we'll call it cheese. I don't know.
I dare you to eat it.
Yeah, that's totally, I mean, you look back on history and the history of fermentation, and I think it was like Mesopotamia or Egypt or something. Mm-hmm. One of these ancient civilizations, they just accidentally left like uncovered grain in a clay pot and it got water on it, and then in the heat started warming up, and then wild yeast just started eating it, and then when they went to drink it they started feeling really good and they're like, wow, how do we do this again?
and you know who discovered that? Women. Happy Women's History Month there. Boom.
Oh, perfect. Wouldn't be here without you ladies. Thank you.
Yeah,
we got about 2 minutes left, Joe. How often do you have tours? Do you have tours all year long, or is it only in the summertime, or how does that work?
So we do have tours all year round, Thursday through Sunday, noon to 7. We close a little bit early on Sundays at 5 p.m. And then we have a lot of events going on. Like the next big one is the Kentucky Derby Party that we'll have out on the farm on May 3rd. So all of those events should be on our website at jhenryandsons.com on the event page. A lot of fun dinners, fun whiskey pairings, cool product releases, stuff that you might not be able to try most other places. We do live music and it's always a good time.
We will include a link to your website in our show notes after the show is over. And Joe, as our guest on Beyond the Cheese, we would like to give you this Beyond the Cheese hat. And awesome. Any listener will take a listener right now at 855-752-4842. First one who gets through. You also get one of these fabulous Beyond the Cheese hats. Joe Henry, owner of J. Henry & Sons. It's been such a pleasure. Thank you so much, Joe. Really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here.
News coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the vast, statewide, countrywide, global on the app, baby, Civic Media Radio Network. Whiskey River, don't I drive? I roll, I got to care.
new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 92.7 WMDX News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Well, that was some wind over the weekend. Our first taste of severe weather season, which here in Wisconsin can actually start as early as February. In Rock County, hundreds of people called dispatch to report damage. Luckily, nobody was hurt. Across southwestern Wisconsin, more than 10,000 people lost power. Luckily, most of it has now been restored. These storms and that intense wind were part of a system that killed at least 30 people in states farther south. For months, people came from hours away to try to get a glimpse of the rare snowy owl, which had made its home in New Glarus. A local newspaper reported that one man came all the way from Colorado to see it. The bird is rarely spotted this far south. Its favorite place was on top of the SSM Health Clinic, and it even caused traffic disruptions as people checked it out. But in February, the owl was found dead. People had feared bird flu or even foul play. Now, scientists from the Department of Natural Resources say they know why. Brittany Merlot reports.
Early last month, a DNR conservation warden collected the bird and submitted it to the National Wildlife Health Center in Madison for diagnostic testing. The results? Intestinal worms, which is common in birds of prey. They also tested it for the bird flu, which came back negative. The owl's location drew in dozens of visitors, and the DNR worried it might hurt their health. Despite no indication that human disturbance was involved in the owl's death, for most of the bird's stay, the owl seemed to be doing just fine, with many stories of it being active and catching prey, and it did not appear to be starving. Yet, it was, for at least the final stages of its life, trying to conserve its limited energy. Survival for wild animals is a challenge. Disease, predators, injury, weather, unfamiliar territory, and inexperience are all natural factors that can lead to death.
That's Brittany Merlot reporting. I'm Savannah Tome Olson. You're listening to 92.7 WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. A new documentary says we are not alone. The Age of Disclosure premiered at the South by Southwest Film Festival in early March and claims aliens are real and that the government has covered up their existence for the last 80 years. The doc claims non-human biological matter has been collected from spacecraft crash sites. Director Dan Farah interviewed 34 government officials who confirmed some type of extraterrestrial life, but the film does not offer a whole lot of actual proof other than talking heads. No confirmation as to whether or not people have actually been probed. As promised, I said I would report back when I finished the show Zero Day on Netflix. The six-parter starring Robert De Niro and Joan Allen explores what happens after a massive grid outage that kills over 3,000 Americans. Zero Day has some great moments, but ties everything up a little too neatly at the end. Having said that, De Niro is great. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly sunny and breezy today, with winds whipping out of the south, gusting up to 30 to 40 miles per hour. It's creating a very high fire danger, and it'll warm us up today to about 60 degrees. Then tomorrow, we become mostly cloudy, staying mild and breezy as the storm system sits on our back doorstep. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 41 degrees.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, I'm pretty sure we're going to be nursing our St. Paddy's Day hangover.
And we'll be talking to the grumpiest guy in town, Paul Soglin.
Join us.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, old Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Congratulations to Whistler from Richland Center. He called in and picked up that wonderful Beyond the Cheese hat, ooh, courtesy of Stephen Aronson, who was our very first guest on Beyond the Cheese.
Yeah, yep.
From Wisconsin Knitwear.
This year. Yeah, and we finally made it happen. We did it.
It only took 4 months.
We did it.
No, we're delighted to have Joe Henry on. If you want to check that out, or if you would like to go to J. Henry and Sons or find out what they got going on, Greg will have that in the show notes. Once the show is over, coming up in just a little bit, we'll wrap it all up as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Let Me Transfer You edition. But right now, it's St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, you tell
me. Ah, sure.
Oh, just talking about
and
stuff.
Off the air, we were all talking about none of us are Irish.
I'm a Scotch.
Are you a Scotch?
But not enough to be like, hey, man, that's my culture.
Not, yeah.
No.
I am half German and French on my father's side and Lithuanian on my mother's side. So there is just there's no Irish in there. Sorry. And as I told Pat Kreitlow this morning, I am waiting for the holiday where it says I'm celebrating half Lithuanian day, where we dress as peasants and drink vodka with no ice because who could afford ice?
And air our grievances.
And the airing of grievances. But we wanted to talk about your favorite Irish or Irish themed films.
Yeah.
855-752-4842, your favorite Irish or Irish-themed movie, which is it as we celebrate St. Patrick's Day, and I do have a couple of them. One of them is called Waking Ned Divine.
Yes.
It is one of the funniest movies I have ever seen, and it's a real quiet, you know what I mean? It's a quiet, soft
yes.
movie.
It's
not big and showy and all of those things. It takes place in a very small village in Ireland, and it all hinges around someone in this small town has won a lottery ticket.
Yeah.
That's what the whole thing is about. It is funny and sweet, and it will get you in the heart, and it's absolutely worth watching. And if I remember correctly, it's been a while since I saw it. It's family friendly too. I don't think that I know there's no sex in it, but I don't think there's any swearing.
Well, I mean, one of those types of movies are the movies you're going to show, like watch with your kid and be like,
it'll be fine.
It'll be fine. Like this isn't going to be the thing that sends them down the road of like, of terrible attitudes and
a bad pathway.
Yeah, I'm going to do an Irish accent some of the days, so strap in. It might get a little offensive to my Irish files.
I did an ancestry DNA test, and I am over 50% German with 6% Irish. So I will go choose Leprechaun today. Go for it.
There you go.
Absolutely, PJ.
There you go.
Embrace your inner Irish. Do you have a favorite film?
Yeah.
Irish or related to Ireland that you would like to share with us, something to watch on this St. Patrick's Day, 855-752-4842. Mark from Prairie du Sac texting in The Quiet Man with John Wayne and Maureen O'Hara. Classic movie.
Oh, Maureen O'Hara was an amazing actor.
Classic movie.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, yeah. Yeah, that's a wonderful, wonderful film.
Steve from Milwaukee listening on WAUK. My wife loved Leap Year. Very Irish.
My wife loves Leap Year as well. Do you know what it's about?
Am I thinking of the actor who was drunk?
No, I believe it's Amy Adams and Matthew Good. Who, by the way, Matthew Good is one of the best actors I've ever seen in my life. And the whole premise is in Ireland, if I'm not mistaken. On leap on the 29th of February, that's when a woman can ask a man to marry him.
Ah.
That kind of thing. If I'm wrong, but talk to my wife. She can tell. She can give you a synopsis from opening credits to director's commentary.
855-752-4842. What's a great Irish film to help celebrate St. Patrick's Day today? Ollie from the Northwoods is on the line. Good morning, Ollie. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, I was on the line waiting. Somebody already took my answer.
Was it Leap Year?
The Quiet Man.
Oh, The Quiet Man.
There you go.
The Quiet Man with John Wayne and Maureen O'Hara. Mm-hmm. That was a fabulous movie. Also, I think there was an Irish movie that where they kept, they were like measuring this mountain, and the Irish people kept carrying dirt up so that they could keep the mountain, get the mountain bigger.
So it would qualify.
I could. Yes.
That
and
was.
I don't remember exactly what it was.
That was with Hugh Grant was in that. The Englishman who walked up a hill and came down a mountain. I think that's what it's called.
Well, it's not what came up when I typed in Measuring Mountain Irish movie.
Oh, no.
That's one of his first movies, I believe, too.
Hugh Grant.
Yes.
Before Love Actually and all that stuff?
Yes. Yeah. Like.
But again, Ollie, I think it's called The Englishman Who Walked Up a Hill and Came Down a Mountain. Does that sound familiar?
Cool movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
There it is. Yep.
Appreciate that, Ollie. Thank you so much for calling. Thank you for listening.
That's a one. I'm becoming kind of obsessed with Hugh Grant lately.
Oh,
because he's entering a new era of his acting. Because like we all know him from his '90s broad romantic comedies. I'm Hugh Grant,
the stumbly lover guy. Yeah,
he has in the past 5 or 6 years. Has become the baddie. Like
he's a villain.
I don't mean like weight size. He's just growing and he's getting bigger and he just doesn't look like he looked 25 years ago and he plays really good. And it's not just villains. He plays really good slime balls. He's so good at being slimy in movies and you can't take your eyes off of him.
And that's always the part that's more fun to
yes.
play.
If you want a perfect example, The Gentleman. It's a Guy Ritchie movie with Matthew McConaughey, Hugh Grant, Charlie Hunnam, Jeremy Strong. It's a British comedy action movie, and Hugh Grant is just the slimiest slime. But back to Irish films.
Yes, back to Irish movies. 855-752-4842, a good Irish film today to watch. To help celebrate St. Patrick's Day, I already talked about Waking Ned Divine. If you can find it, it's really sweet. Tony, I think you're supposed to just watch Dropkick Murphy concerts videos all day. You can do that.
There you go.
That works.
Tom from West Dallas said Boondock Saints. That is a revenge movie that takes place in, like, I think Boston. It's very Irish in its presentation. The gentlemen are Irish. And I will say this. It's one of those movies that a lot of dudes have a poster of in their bedroom, like next to their Caddyshack poster and their Blues Brothers poster. And it's one of those things where men will say, oh, man, I love Boondock Saints. And I love if you love Boondock Saints. But I watched 20 minutes and I'm like, this is garbage. But the documentary about the guy who made the movie is even better because he just absolutely burned himself out and made himself a complete pariah in Hollywood. But,
Right. Chris from Blue River says, I have to go with Brave. I'm a huge fan of anything Pixar, and this is an underappreciated work. Brave didn't happen in Scotland. We will double check.
I think it's Scotland, actually.
We'll double check. Liz from Saukville, listening on WAUK. We're talking about good Irish or Irish-related films to watch for St. Patrick's Day. Liz from Saukville says, The Secret of Roan Inish.
Ooh.
Which is a classic that's been around for a really long time. Douglas from Madison, listening on WMDX. The Englishman Who Went Up a Hill was not an Irish film. It was set in Wales.
And Brave was set in the Scottish Highlands.
I thought it was in Scotland.
But you know what, though? Let's just, hey, what?
It's part of, yeah.
We're not gonna sit here and suffocate your truth. You live your life, be happy however you want to be happy. I don't know where this voice is coming from, but I just, love these movies.
We like to be accurate. That's fine. The other one I was thinking of was Circle of Friends.
That is a, yeah. Is that Minnie Driver?
Minnie Driver. Before Minnie Driver was a thing.
I love Minnie Driver. I want to hang out with her.
Yeah. She was, it's another really sweet film. Yes. About relationships, mm-hmm. and friendships and challenges. And again, it's not a big movie. It's not a big, big film. And I'm not even sure how it did at the box office.
I mean,
but it's definitely worth a watch. And to see Minnie Driver early in her career.
Yes.
Yeah. Before she became as polished, and she's fabulous in that movie.
I think that I love Minnie Driver. I love the TV work she's done. There was a show that was on, I think, for one or two seasons called Speechless, where she played the mother of a disabled boy who did not bow to the world. She protected her son, and the family wasn't like, it wasn't an example of like, this is how you be a good family. They had their problems, but she is kick butting it because she's excellent. Excellent. I love Minnie Driver so much.
What is your Irish or Irish related film you might watch today to help celebrate St. Patty's Day? Listener on WAUK, Ryan's daughter.
Okay.
And Carrie from Tosa listening on WMDX, The Miracle Club.
Ooh.
That's a relatively recent movie, I think, Carrie. I think that's on HBO Max right now. The Miracle Club. Either HBO Max or Netflix.
Okay.
Because I have seen that pass by.
I loved The Banshees of Inisherin. And the thing is I would like take it out a little further. Martin McDonagh, who wrote and directed it, I love all of his films. And he's an amazing playwright. But like In Bruges is an amazing film. Seven Psychopaths is so fun. And I like, you know, if they were talking about Irish and Irish films and Irish filmmakers, Martin McDonagh's movies are absolutely wonderful.
See, and I watched The Banshees and I thought that was one of the saddest things I'd ever seen.
Well, I mean, that doesn't mean you can't like it, though.
I would never watch it again.
Okay.
It made me so sad.
Okay.
And we're not even going to talk about the donkey.
No, let's not talk about the donkey.
Let's not talk about the donkey. Those who know, know. Irish films, Irish-ish films.
Irish-adjacent
films that we're watching for St. Patty's Day. Darby O'Gill and the Little People listening in Madison. That's been around since I was a munchkin. That's an old, old movie. Back when special effects were really special. You know what I mean? The early days of Hollywood and the stuff that they did to try and look magical. It's pretty great. Nicole from Madison, Bad Sisters on Apple TV, Chef's Kiss.
I've heard about that show. I looked up movies, and there is a movie that came out. There's a movie called The Quiet Girl, too. Interesting. It is an Irish film. It is not Irish in its presentation. It just was made in Ireland and it has Irish actors.
Okay.
It's called Frank. It did not do very well. It stars Michael Fassbender.
Okay.
Gyllenhaal. I can't remember her first name right now. And Donald Gleason. And it's about a guy who's kind of not all there, but he is kind of a weird artistic musical genius who wears a papier-mâché mask on his head.
Okay.
It's just a fun movie. It's called Frank. I loved it.
Check out Frank.
Yeah.
Check out Frank. One more. We got Quentin from Glendale. P.S. I Love You. It's my favorite film.
Oh, yes.
And Jeff from Madison, just to clarify, Darby O'Gill is an old Disney movie. Again, that thing's been around for a long time. Anne from Green Bay texting in Kneecap. Never heard of that one.
Okay.
And again, Chris from Blue River says, yes, you are correct. Brave is Scottish.
That's fine.
Watch a movie today.
Exactly.
Have some corned beef and cabbage. Take a free ride. Ride the bus if you're going to be out celebrating.
Yeah.
Please be safe.
Please, please, please be safe. And just stay on the live stream. You know what? For today, let's do it. Die Hard is an Irish film because John McClane sounds like an Irish name.
Oh, fine.
There you go.
We'll accept that. We'll absolutely accept it, yeah. All right. When we return, we're going to wrap it all up as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it's the Let Me Transfer You edition. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. Stay with us on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We'll be right back. Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
I'm hungry. What's cooking?
Oh, no, not me. It's your turn.
Oh, we're back to taking turns?
Yes.
Well, how about Sugar River Pizza?
Oh, yeah, now they can cook.
I could really go for some of that 12-hour smoked pulled pork.
Ooh, and some pasta. Mm. Okay, now I'm hungry. Sugar River, here we come.
And they have that great kids menu, too.
We don't have any kids.
Right. That's beside the point. The point is, I'm hungry.
You're hungry. Let's go.
Yes. And we should talk about having some kids.
Get in the car, Bob. Sugar River, Sun Prairie, Verona, New Glarus, and catering.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. If you were an Irish Catholic immigrant in the 1840s through the 1920s, many of your Protestant fellow Americans, some of whom joined the xenophobic Know Nothing Party, tried to suppress your vote. A famine in Ireland and economic instability in Germany saw millions of immigrants coming to America beginning in the 1820s. According to Smithsonian Magazine, between 1845 and 1854, 2.9 million immigrants arrived, including an estimated one quarter of Ireland's entire population. In cities like New York and Boston, the mostly Protestant American political elite saw Irish Catholics as a threat to their American culture. In 1849, the shadowy Know Nothing Party arose, a cross between a political party and a street gang, and grew to America's first sizable third party. Historian J.P. Dolan found the Know-Nothings elected 8 governors, 100 congressmen, and several mayors. Abraham Lincoln wrote, "When the Know-Nothings get control, it will read, 'All men are created equal, except Negroes and foreigners and Catholics.'" They proposed a 21-year wait time for foreign-born immigrants to vote, tried to ban Catholics and foreigners from holding office, even deporting 300 Irish immigrants back to Liverpool. But Irish immigrants, when they could vote, voted in higher numbers. By the 1880s, they became a political force in Boston, New York, and Chicago. I'm Brian Beal.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Box, Sweet Calvi on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show tomorrow, hopefully Luke Mathers will have recovered from his celebrations today. We're hoping he's going to join us tomorrow after 10:30. We'll see what happens.
Can we call him Lukey O'Mathers?
We can call him Lukey O'Mathers, absolutely.
Yes.
That's if that's what makes you happy. Right now, though, Calvin, it is time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
And as always, if you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. Today it is the Let Me Transfer You edition. This from UPI.com. Ben Hooper gets a lot of bylines for these.
He's searching for those.
He's looking for him.
Interesting stories.
He's looking for him. Headline reads, Virginia Zoo responds to gorilla escape rumors. We don't have those. The Virginia Zoo, responding to rumors of an escaped gorilla in Norfolk, Virginia, confirmed that not only are all of its animals accounted for, they don't even have gorillas. Social media lit up with reports of a gorilla on the loose last week after a power outage in a particular neighborhood with several Facebook users.
Don't look at me. I didn't start this.
Claiming to have seen the large animal. Don't take stuff from Facebook and assume it's accurate. I'm just saying. This is how it starts.
I feel like I'm being yelled at right now. Like,
well, you're the one I can point at. I can point at Calvin, but it's not the same. The Virginia Zoo put the rumors to rest, joking that the sightings were likely the facility's mascot, Zoo Squatch.
Oh, God, are you serious?
I am reading from the article. We heard talk of an escaped gorilla, but we think it may have just been Zoo Squatch. Spotted on his daily run. Don't worry, he made it back to the zoo. Our keepers want you to know all our animals are safe and accounted for, except for gorillas, because we don't have those.
But you know, we do have Zoo Squatch.
Officials write any real escape would have been accompanied by a statement from the zoo. Just keep that in mind when you're on Facebook. And a friendly reminder, while these hoaxes can be silly, you can rest assured that the Virginia Zoo has extensive safety measures and protocols in place to keep out animals and communities safe. If there is ever a real animal escape from our facility, we will issue a formal statement to all local media, including on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
I guarantee you in 6 months we're going to hear a story about this incident still having traction, because I say this, to this day, years later, people still believe there's a lion running around Milwaukee because of a Facebook post.
Always reliable. That's always where you want to go when you're looking for accurate information.
Now, if you don't mind, I got to get out of here. I got to go look for Zoo Squatch.
Again, don't worry about it. The gorilla is fine because we don't have those. That wraps up today's edition of Kelvin.
This shouldn't be a thing.
As I said, hopefully Luke Mathers will be joining us tomorrow after the 10:30 news. We have a very busy rest of the week.
Yeah.
Kind of a short week for me.
Why?
Because I'm going to be off a couple of days.
Wait, what?
Did I not tell you this?
Folks, this is breaking news.
Oh, I told
I'm
you
being
this.
Left alone.
No, I'm going to be off Thursday, Friday, and Monday.
All right.
I'm going to see a friend outside of Austin.
And I will have with me on Monday the wonderful Angela Lang, co-hosting the entire show, and a special guest, possibly, most likely, yes, because I'm going to make him do it, on Friday. But more details this week to come.
Oh, intriguing.
Let's just say this. Wait, I'll tell you.
Oh, that's really exciting. One last text I wanted to get in. Fred from Cottage Grove, listening in Madison on WMDX. This shouldn't be a thing. Green beer.
Well, that I was going to say, Michael Seal from Tosa. When I celebrate today, no green beer will pass my lips. Green beer is an abomination.
Yeah, years ago when I was in music radio and we would broadcast from bars.
Gross.
Starting at 5.
Yuck.
And people would have Lucky Charms and green beer.
Disgusting.
It's a whole new level of, yeah, I can't do that. Coming up after the news will be Todd Alba from noon to 2. Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4. Dom Salvia picks it up from 4 to 6 p.m. The wonderful Pete Schwabe from 6 to 8. Pat Kreitlow, Up North News Radio, gets us going early mornings from 6 to 8. And then Earl Ingram Jr. right before us from 8 to 10 a.m. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It really does mean the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. Stay right here on the vast, statewide, countrywide, global on the app, Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow. Happy St. Paddy's Day.
For Madison, real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, we talk aliens with paranormal investigator Todd Michaels, and Flicks Brewhouse brewmaster Dave Hansen joins the show to talk about the new Nightlight beer. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You can support animals in need in our community when you shop at Dane County Humane Society's thrift stores.
Thrift Store West on Watts Road and Thrift Store East on High Crossing Boulevard. Shop gently used and new clothing and accessories, home goods, toys, furniture, and a whole lot more. All proceeds from the Dane County Humane Society's thrift stores support the comfort and care of animals in need across the county. Visit giveshelter.org/thrift for more information.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Trump administration pushing back on a federal judge's order directing deportation flights already in the air this past weekend be turned around as it weighs whether President Trump's use of the Alien Enemies Act is lawful. Border czar Tom Homan outside the White House echoing his comments to Fox News, saying he doesn't care what the judges say and defended the president's actions.
The president, through proclamation, took his authority under Alien Enemies Act and imposed it, which he has the right to do.
The judge has scheduled a hearing for later today over the deportation orders. Consumer spending ticked up in February from the slowdown in January. It's one of the gauges the Federal Reserve Board will look at this week ahead of its interest rate decision. Across the country, St. Patrick's Day celebrations are underway. The largest and one of the oldest, taking place in New York City, where some 2 million are turning out along Fifth Avenue to celebrate the luck of the Irish. This is ABC News.